Ascent Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Design Any Disaster, the Revolutionary Blueprint to Master Your Next Crisis or Emergency by Patrick Hardy. Narrated by Patrick Hardy. Publisher's note. In this audio edition, you will hear references to diagrams and tables present in the print and ebook formats of the book. This book is dedicated to all those who live in the age of disasters. You got this. Introduction. A disaster is only a disaster if you let it be one. When I was a young boy, my father took my brother and me to Universal Studios Hollywood. We experienced two disasters that day. The first was when I had forgotten my shoes, and my dad had to purchase a pair of adult sandals at the park and re-engineer them to fit the feet of a 10-year-old, with the help of a clerk at the store. And the second was when we took the famous Studio Tour ride, which takes passengers through multiple movie set areas, like the ones for Jaws and Back to the Future. At one point, the ride goes into a subway. Suddenly, they're shaking, and the earth caves in. Water rushes down the stairs, and what looks like an oil tanker comes crashing in from the ceiling, and the tour guide pretends like it's all real. Then after a minute or two, the guide gives the "just kidding," and everything returns to normal as you exit the subway and continue the tour. My heart was beating fast for a while, as this came totally without warning, and before the time of online spoilers. Even my brother, who has some kind of a daredevil gene in him and was never afraid of rides of any kind, had a startled look on his face when we emerged into the sunshine. Of course, that's the purpose of the ride. To scare you. It's supposed to simulate the real thing. We were never in danger, but we still got to experience an earthquake. Notice I didn't say disaster. We simply let it happen to us, but it had no real, long-lasting effect because it was only a ride. The reason I am telling you this story is because this is how I want you to totally change your perspective on disasters. The reason why we experience disasters as horrible is not because of their size or scope. It's because we hand control of the way we react to, respond to, and recover from them to someone else. I want you to turn every disaster you face into a ride at Universal Studios. Watch it happen, then move on. I'm here to tell you that you can design any disaster. You can put yourself in a position where you can design precisely how the disaster is going to affect you. Overview of disasters. The fact is that disasters are everywhere. I don't have to tell you that. There's no doubt about it. In 2020, for example, there were 22 separate billion-dollar natural disasters involving the weather across the United States, breaking the previous annual record of 16 events in 2017 and 2011. You read about them every day. In fact, as I wrote this chapter in October 2022, the headlines today consisted of a serious cyber attack conducted at multiple U.S. airports, the largest ever power outage in the world in Bangladesh, affecting 140 million people, and the aftermath in Florida of Category 4 Hurricane Ian, which made landfall in September. All disasters fit into three categories: natural, technological, and security. Each of these categories has unique characteristics and challenges associated with it. Natural disasters. Natural disasters are ones caused by the natural environment, like hurricanes, earthquakes, volcanic eruptions, and tsunamis. The increasingly visible effects of climate change have created an increased focus on natural disasters, as they have made them more frequent and more intense. For example, the California August Complex fire in 2020 burned an area larger than Rhode Island. Hurricanes have also become much more destructive. Hurricane Harvey in 2017 was the most destructive storm in Texas history, causing $20 billion in damage and displacing more than 300,000 people. Natural disasters can go from the catastrophic to the very strange, as large insect swarms and even algae-formed red tides can be incredibly destructive. Between 2019 and 2020, the Horn of Africa experienced some of the worst insect swarms in modern history, with a single swarm of locusts growing to be about 25 miles long and 37 miles wide, which would cover the geographic area of Paris 24 times over. During that period, they caused significant crop damage and food shortages. The previous large locust outbreak, which began in 2003 and lasted until 2005, caused an estimated $2.5 billion in crop damage. Technological disasters. Technological disasters are those that are human-made but are generally either accidents or caused by negligent human behavior. Examples of these are chemical spills, bridge collapses, and utility outages. They range from the serious to the comedic. For instance, one night a client called my company's emergency line at 2 o'clock in the morning, telling us there was a disaster in their RV park. When my employee asked them what the emergency was, the client stated that the internet was out. The employee asked how this was an emergency, and the client said, "I have 20 people right now trying to stream the final episode of Game of Thrones. Trust me, this is an emergency." However, utility outages are common and can be quite serious. In 2017, Cape Town, South Africa was on the verge of a serious emergency because of its declining dam levels. Local newspapers counted down the days to Day Zero, the day the city would run out of water. Electricity shortages, particularly in areas where there are high heat days, can also have a major impact on public health. For those on constant oxygen or reliant on portable medical equipment, a long-term outage can be fatal. Transportation accidents like airplane crashes, train derailments, or even massive traffic jams can be considered technological disasters. For instance, in July 2014, Los Angeles was conducting planned construction on the 405 freeway, a major thoroughfare snaking through Southern California. About 300,000 cars pass through it on a typical summer weekend, and it is the major artery to the Los Angeles International Airport. City officials planned to shut down a section of the freeway for two straight weekends, which, left unaddressed, could cause a transportation shutdown that would paralyze the city and strand potentially tens of thousands in their cars in 90-degree heat. Anticipating this, the city enacted an emergency declaration for what they termed Carmageddon. The mayor of Los Angeles stood at a press conference with first response and emergency management agencies, giving instructions to the community to help avoid a potentially dangerous transportation shutdown. Security disasters. Security emergencies are ones that have belligerent motives. They include terrorist attacks, mass shootings, cyber attacks, and acts of warfare. The September 11, 2001 attacks on the World Trade Center and the Pentagon are obvious examples of this, as are the 1995 Oklahoma City bombing and the 2008 Mumbai attacks. But there are thousands of others that occur around the world. However, this type of incident many people in the United States are most familiar with is mass shootings. They obviously can and do occur anywhere, but when they involve schools and/or have many casualties, they tend to make national headlines. Many trace the beginning of this trend to the April 1999 Columbine High School shooting in Littleton, Colorado, but there have been significant shootings prior to this. On August 20, 1986, for example, a postal employee named Patrick Sherrill shot and killed 14 employees and injured six at the post office in Edmond, Oklahoma. As of August 2022, it stands as the deadliest workplace mass shooting in U.S. history. In addition, the 2012 massacre at Sandy Hook, the 2007 Virginia Tech spree shooting, and the 2022 shooting in Uvalde, Texas, as well as other mass public shootings, have since highlighted the continuing need to address workplace, worship center, and school violence. Security emergencies don't necessarily have to stem from a massive event. I work with campgrounds around the country, and one of the largest security emergencies I came across in that industry occurred in San Diego, California, when around 60 people got involved in a massive drunken, gang-inspired fight, resulting in dozens of injuries to guests and staff who were trying to avoid the maelstrom. Cyber attacks are becoming significantly more disruptive as we increasingly rely on digital infrastructure to conduct our daily lives, and they signify a security emergency that is now in greater focus. For example, in May 2022, Costa Rica declared a state of emergency when its government websites were the target of a massive ransomware attack by an organized hacking group called Conti. Other hacks, like the Sony Pictures cyber attack in 2014, which resulted in the release of private personal information and confidential emails, can create serious personal repercussions for employees and their families. During the COVID-19 pandemic, cyber attacks against both small and large companies from malicious employees, cyber criminals, and hacktivists increased exponentially. In Switzerland alone, the number of reported attacks in June 2020 was triple that from the previous April. And cyber attacks are not limited to digital infrastructure. They can have serious impacts on brick-and-mortar assets as well. The Colonial Pipeline was the subject of a massive cyber attack in 2021, resulting in significant gas disruption along the U.S. East Coast. These attacks are growing in number as well as sophistication and will likely become a permanent fixture in the disaster threat picture. Common disasters. But I want you to add one more category of disasters. I call them common disasters. These are disasters that occur to you but don't directly affect the larger community. However, that doesn't make them any less important. These include losing a family member unexpectedly, sewer backups and natural gas breaks, acute medical emergencies, and even unforeseen incidents that occur while you're traveling. These are disasters that can have tremendous physical, psychological, and financial effects. Today, there are unique common disasters that could not have happened 40 years ago. For instance, in the age of social media and the internet, you can experience an acute public relations emergency. Every week or so, social media latches onto a photo or video of someone behaving offensively or saying something to draw public ire. These displays routinely go viral and can have grave implications for the people involved, and sometimes their family members, such as losing their jobs, being harassed online, or even receiving death threats. Solving the problem. Using the C3 method, you can design any disaster. Shh, I have a secret to tell you. Not one of the disasters I listed earlier is really a disaster. Not a single one. Every incident I mentioned earlier, whether natural, technological, security, or common, is just that, an incident. They are all incidents that, unfortunately, they occur in our lives, and we have little control to stop them. But here is the key. They only transform into disasters when you allow them to destroy and paralyze you. That's right. The only one who turns them from an incident to a disaster is you. Ultimately, you must see a disaster for what it really is, something you can conquer. The way to do this is to decrease the one element that indicates the severity of a disaster. It's not the number of houses destroyed or the number of people evacuated from an area. It's how dependent you are on other organizations, people, and government agencies to manage the disaster for you. In other words, how much of a bystander you are in the disaster. That's right. I can determine right now how much a disaster will negatively affect you by analyzing your dependency on others. It has nothing to do with the category size or Richter strength or tsunami wave size. It has to do with your dependence. The more you are a bystander in your disaster response, the more severe the disaster will be. That's why I developed a system called the C3 method that is going to revolutionize how you prepare for, respond to, and recover from a disaster. That's the value of the C3 method. As you decrease your dependency on others, you decrease the bystander effect, which decreases the effect of disasters. This is what increases your resiliency and preparedness for them. Most disaster books talk about recovering post-disaster back to where you were before. Let me be clear. I'm not remotely interested in that. Not at all. What I want to do is reframe your thinking so you have a clear, applicable method for making your life stronger as a result of the disaster. Once we transform from a victim to an empowered leader in any incident, we can carry that empowered state forward to meet the next disaster. If you follow what I write in this book, you will never become a victim again. You will be a stronger, more resilient person than you were before the disaster. I have worked in disaster management at every level: government, private sector organizations, small and large, nonprofits, animals and people, schools and higher education, and families of all socioeconomic strata. I have worked with vulnerable populations and have spoken around the world on disaster preparedness. In my nearly 2 decades of doing this work, I've learned a lot, and I want to share that knowledge with you. But none more than this: there's no disaster you can't conquer. Notice I didn't say survive. I want you to conquer a disaster so you'll be stronger and better afterward. The reason that incidents become disasters is because we all allow them to, because we don't have a consistent framework for thinking about them. I think this is why we generally see disorganized responses to disasters. Frankly, in many cases, no one knows really what to do or when to do it. There are many reasons for this: not having a disaster plan in place, not having proper equipment beforehand, and a lack of participation in drills. But I think the real culprit for not having a consistent disaster response framework is our expectation that someone else will take care of it. When we don't prepare, and when we don't have a framework in place to consistently respond effectively to a disaster, we are handing control over to someone else at the worst possible time. That is how our dependency on others increases, turning us into bystanders in our disaster response and therefore decreasing our resilience to deal with disaster. As a result, we won't improve after disasters and will be constantly off balance. Disaster plans, for example, often read like boring instruction manuals, and disaster backpacks are never opened until the second they are needed. These tools actually disempower you because they make you dependent on someone else to handle the disaster for you. The night before I wrote this, I went to the U.S. Geological Survey website, which tracks all seismic activity in the United States, and discovered that there were 4 earthquakes in California the day before. They weren't strong enough to do any damage, so no one considered them disasters. I'm going to teach you how to metaphorically take an 8.0 magnitude earthquake and turn it into a 1.2 magnitude earthquake. I want you to take what seems to be a catastrophic disaster and turn it into a ride at Universal Studios. Disasters don't have to be doom and gloom. The key is to challenge yourself to design the disasters you face. You can rewrite your life in a way that will make you look at disasters differently forever. I've called this book Design Any Disaster because I want you to learn that while you can't change a given incident, you can prevent it from becoming a disaster. Make no mistake, incidents are going to occur no matter what, but you can become 99.97% resilient against them. This may seem like a strange number to assign, but my approach to disasters is like the hand sanitizer in your pocket. It can't get every germ and bacterium, but it can get the vast majority of them. In the same way, I can't promise that the method I will teach you in this book will completely eliminate disasters, because it can't. But it can get 99.97% of them. Unless some magical technology is invented to prevent them, there will always be tornadoes, blizzards, earthquakes, and hurricanes. The history of humanity has proven that there will always be engineering failures, no matter how advanced the structure is or how unsinkable a ship is. And unfortunately, there will always be dangerous people and organizations who seek to harm innocent people. That being said, just because danger is inevitable doesn't mean it has to destroy your life or control how you live it. I want you to look at disasters exactly as they are. A hurricane is just a windy rainstorm. An earthquake is just the ground shaking. And a bridge collapse is a metal structure failing. That is how you transform them into a ride at an amusement park. I'm not saying you're going to forget what happens in these incidents. I still vividly remember the Universal Studio ride, even after all these years, just as I have memories of every disaster I've experienced. However, their impact on how you live your life can either make you stronger for them or weaker, and whatever choice is made is totally up to you. So how do you do that? As I mentioned earlier, what causes a disaster to be more severe is not its size, the number of buildings destroyed, or the financial impact. It has nothing to do with any of those things. It's based on your dependence during the disaster. This dependence leaves you completely open to relying on someone else to conduct your disaster preparedness, response, and recovery. That is how you should judge the effect of a disaster, how much it disrupts your life to the point where you can't make yourself stronger afterward, otherwise known as resilience. Over the next 15 chapters, I'm going to teach you how to transform incidents into Universal Studio rides and how to safely keep yourself in the tram. The C3 method is a simple yet revolutionary way to get you out of inaction and ready to deal with any kind of incident. I have used this method with thousands of clients all over the world, from corporations to nursing homes, to campgrounds, bars, and restaurants, to communities, to individual families of all kinds, to golf courses, to that little noodle shop on your neighborhood corner. Breaking down the C3 method. What is the C3 method? It's a framework that, for the first time, you can use in any phase of a given incident, from way before it strikes until you fully recovered from it. The key is to take control of the disaster and lead yourself, your family, your business, and your life. Instead of simply becoming a bystander who does nothing, with the C3 method, you can take the steps to put yourself in a position where you can be an empowered leader among the people dealing with a disaster. I want you to forget about everything you think you know about disasters. Not some things, not a few things here and there, everything. Everything you've read online, everything you've seen on television or in the movies, everything you've been told, because everything you've heard about disasters is 100% wrong. I want you to know that you don't have to be a victim in a disaster. Ever. I am going to challenge you throughout this book to make your life more resilient by decreasing the dependency on others that turns you into a disaster victim and by increasing your self-sufficiency. That's how you design any disaster. Disasters are only disasters in how they affect your life. If you can make your life more resilient, stronger, and better prepared in the way I outline in this book, I can minimize 99.97% of any disaster you face by decreasing your dependence. You can do it. It just requires a systematic approach, which you'll gain through the C3 method, a distillation of the tools I have used with people and organizations over a nearly 20-year career. This method will fundamentally change how you view disaster plans, first aid kits, red emergency backpacks, the doom and gloom mindset, government disaster services, donations, and every other element of disasters. The three parts of the C3 method are command, communicate, and carry out. Command will start by challenging your mindset regarding disasters. It will force you to change your default, dependent assumption that if I do nothing, someone else will take care of it, to a mindset of, if I do nothing, no one else will. Communicate will take you on the affirmative step to creating a disaster team and assembling mechanisms to ensure a clear information exchange. Finally, in carry out, you will learn how to empower those around you in a disaster, providing clear, rational, and proven steps to give you the edge in any emergency. What you will discover is that these three planks, put together, open new doors in any disaster response. By implementing the C3 method, you will discover the critical secret I share in each of my disaster programs. Disasters are only disasters if you let them be. Dangerous and unexpected incidents will occur regardless of what you do, but how you react to them and how they impact you make all the difference. Chronology of a disaster. Most people think of disasters simply in terms of before, during, and after. But disaster response is a much more detailed continuum, with each phase feeding into the next. I have organized this book around what I believe to be the cycle that accurately reflects our ability to conquer disasters. Ready, react, respond, recover, reverse. Chapter 1 will introduce you to the C3 method, covering each plank of the process and how to apply them in real incidents. Then you'll enter into Part 1 of this book. Part 1 is entitled, Ready, Prepare Yourself for Any Disaster with the C3 Method. Chapter 2 will begin with a discussion of the foundational documents of emergency preparedness, disaster plans. You will learn how disaster plans systematically disempower you through both their content as well as their format, and how the C3 method can transform them into effective, dynamic documents. Chapter 3 will discuss equipment, supplies, and technology, EST. You will learn that most EST makes you less prepared and perpetuates negative behaviors that will weaken you throughout a disaster response by giving you a false sense of security, making you more dependent on outside agencies, organizations, or people. However, I will provide a framework for identifying and purchasing EST that will increase your preparedness for disasters. In Chapter 4, we'll discuss the useless emergency drills and training that seem to never accurately simulate real disasters. I'll teach you a simple trick I discovered as a high school drama student that will make these exercises infinitely better for you. It will outline how the C3 method can transform these inane activities into effective and exciting disaster simulations. Part 2 builds upon the opening chapters, discussing how to seize control seconds after disaster strikes with the C3 method. Chapter 5 will address the panic response you feel the instant disaster strikes and how, instead of fighting that feeling, you can redirect that energy into an incredible tool by using a technique from a 100-year-old martial art. Chapter 6 will round out the react phase of the disaster by providing you with tools that might save your life in a disaster. It will outline how to protect yourself from becoming a victim by applying a simple safety strategy. Part 3 will help you conquer the lights and sirens phase using the C3 method by giving you tools to respond to the immediate impacts of a disaster. Chapter 7 will start off by identifying the 3 major responses to a disaster: evacuating, sheltering in place, and locking down. The chapter will teach you how to apply the C3 method to each of these responses and identify best practices for any emergency. Chapter 8 will take the next step, providing you with information on how to stabilize the disaster, including what you should take with you during an evacuation and what critical items you might forget. It will give you a new way to think about these items and about how to consider their implications for your ultimate disaster recovery. Part 3 will conclude in Chapter 9 by discussing what should be your last priority: property protection. Using the C3 method, this chapter will give you a 5-step process to evaluate any item in your home in just minutes. Part 4, Recover. Restore your life in 5 sentences using the C3 method will completely upend your thinking on how to recover after a disaster. With the C3 method, you will discover a fast, easy-to-use methodology to approach any disaster with the 1-sentence recovery. You will learn how to develop a custom disaster recovery for yourself using just 1 sentence that I will explore with you in Part 4's 3 chapters. Chapter 10 will take you through the first part of the sentence to help you identify what needs to be recovered. Through a custom example, you will learn step by step how to determine the priorities of your recovery and the important difference between recovery and going back to normal. Chapter 11 will take you through the second part of the sentence, helping you discern the time and cost of your recovery as you develop one that fits your budget and your timeline. Chapter 12 will bring you through the third and final part of the recovery sentence, with an in-depth discussion of the strategies to employ when designing your recovery. Continuing to break
sample complete. Ready to continue?